The Gemara tells us in Masechet Sukkah a fascinating story about the Anshei Yerushalayim, what the practice was during the Yom Tov Sukkot, that they were so excited about the mitzvah of Daal Minim, it wasn't enough for them just to take the Daal Minim once in the morning. They'd walk around with it the whole day. So the Gemara describes, they used to go to shul, they'd have the Daal Minim, they'd go to this medrash, they'd have the Daal Minim, they used to go to Mavakei Cholim, they'd have the Daal Minim, they'd go to Nichama Vein, whatever they were doing throughout the course of the day, they were always holding on to the Daal Minim. So we have to understand this Gemara, what exactly is this all about? What kind of a ketaid is that? What kind of a midas chasidus is this? That one holds the Daal Minim during the entire day. After all, the Gemara tells us explicitly in Masechet Tzachim, in Masechet Sukkah, that there's a rule when it comes to the mitzvah of Daal Minim, that Avdei Nafak Bei. Once a person picks up the Daal Minim once, he eats to the mitzvah, the person says, Kach Tam Lachem Biyam Rishon, so he's a Lakechen already. So what exactly are they trying to gain by holding on to the Daal Minim for the duration of the day? So perhaps one could understand this Gemara based on the following Yisod, that maybe what the Anshei Yerushalayim held was the following interesting Chiddush. That maybe there's a minimum amount of the mitzvah of Daal Minim, and maybe there's a certain degree, a maximum amount of the mitzvah. That when the Torah says that the Arvei Nafik Bei, that one fulfills the mitzvah of Lul the Esrog, they're just picking it up for one split second and putting it down, so that means as follows. It means the bare mitzvah, the bare minimum obligation is in fact one split second. You can't say that the Arvei Nafik Bei, the mitzvah, they picked it up for a split second. However, notwithstanding the fact that the Chiva mitzvah can be performed with 1 second, maybe as long as the person holds on to the Daal Minim, that's considered to be also a Kima mitzvah. The duration of as long as one is holding on to the Esrog Lul with one's hand, so that's all Mitzurah to the original mitzvah. And maybe it's considered to be also included in the Kima mitzvah. So this idea that if this is true, if this is in fact the Pshat of the Anshei Yerushalayim, so we may find this by a series of other mitzvahs. We're going to be hopefully after Yom Tov, we're going to be found mitzvah Tefillin, so we may find this with Tefillin also. Some Achronim will say that's what the mitzvah Tefillin is about also in that Torah. That one is technically speaking only mechutz to put on Tefillin for a split second. So if you put Tefillin on, it's a quick minyan, on and off, astronauts go around. So if a person puts on Tefillin for one split second, so technically speaking they weren't mevatel the mitzvah Tefillin. On the other hand, the longer the one keeps the Tefillin on, so perhaps the more the kima mitzvah, according to many pesukim, the more the kima mitzvah, even on a level of deraisa. Or, for example, the Rambam has a similar idea in Hilchos Chametz Matzah. The Rambam introduces the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah with a very strange phrase. The Rambam says, the mitzvah lechol matzah b'lelchem isha osa b'nisan. And then at the very end of the halacha, the Rambam writes, isha ochol tzedai is yotza. So the Nitzir and others already pointed out that's a strange lashon. If I was writing the Rambam, I would have written, mitzvah saseh lechol tzedai is matzah b'lelchem isha osa b'nisan. Tzedai is matzah is a definition of the mitzvah, and the Rambam left it out. The Rambam starts off the mitzvah by saying, mitzvah lechol matzah. And then the Rambam says, oh, and by the way, it's an afterthought, if you ate a kedais, then you're okay. So maybe what the Rambam means is as follows, that the mitzvah really is the more the merrier. The more mouth you eat, the more of a kilo mitzvah it is. That would explain very nicely why there's an idea that you're not supposed to eat an earth cake in the afternoon, that you should eat matzah with the oven. Doesn't just mean you should enjoy the one kedais that you're eating, but okay, you should be hungry to eat more and more kedaisim. Well, the chart would send you the 6 kedaisim per chart, so that's considered very matzah in this. So that's what the Rambam seems to be saying also says in his Siv, that mitzvah zeh lechol matzah lechem ishasa b'nisim. The mitzvah to eat matzah, that's the mitzvah, as much as you eat, the more the merrier. You want to know what the bare minimum is, you want to know what the absolute minimum amount of matzah is, that if you, at least if you did that, so you will fulfill the bare minimum mitzvah, you should achol kizayis matzah yatzah. So that doesn't detract from the fact that the more the one eats, the greater a kilo mitzvah is. So maybe the same aside that we find by the mitzvah zeh lechol matzah, according to many achronim, or that we find concerning the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, perhaps according to the Rambam and others, so maybe this idea expressed itself by the Anshei Yerushalayim also, that's what they were trying to accomplish, that the bare minimum mitzvah they fulfilled with the Avdei Nafak Bei, that's the Gemara Masechet Tzachim, that's the Kach Tam Lachem, but the more the merrier, the more the one holds on to the Daal Minim, the greater the Kima mitzvah that there really is. This idea that sometimes when it comes to mitzvahs, the Torah gives us a shiur, or the Torah gives us a nice a mitzvah, in the sense of what's considered to be the bare minimum, but the more that one adds on to it is also considered to be included in the ma'aseh mitzvah. So this may reflect itself in another area of halacha, but later also in terms of Hilchos Sukkah, concerning the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. You know, the Gemara derives from sukkah and the sukkah, that if a person, once a person sits in the sukkah the first time during sukkah, so the sukkah becomes asa b'hanav, it's a din k'shem shechal shem shemayim ala chagiga, chachal shem shemayim ala sukkah, that's the schach becomes also b'hanoam min haTorah, according to the Rambam. Even the walls become also b'hanoam min haTorah, according to others. The walls are only also min haRabbanan. But clearly there's a din that when one performs the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah, so the sukkah becomes asav hanah, and that's a din in Atarah. It's enough, falls off it, the sukkah is over. But for that week of sukkah, the person would pull off a piece of schach and use it for firewood, that would be a violation of the nisa deraisa. So the Mishnah had a whole discussion about this. We know that there's a bare minimum how big the sukkah has to be. The sukkah doesn't have to be 100 feet by 100 feet. It could be zayin tefachim by zayin tefachim. It doesn't even have to be four walls. It could be three walls. It doesn't even have to really be three full walls. It could be a shnayim, and the third wall could be a little shvacha wall, tefach, and a little more than a tefach. But it doesn't have to be the size of the sukkah that we built sukkahs. So what would the halacha be? Let's say a person puts up the sukkah, and I'm sitting in my corner of the sukkah. I sit the first night, Friday night, I sit in the corner of my sukkah. I'm not taking up the whole sukkah. I'm not taking up the four walls of the sukkah. I'm taking up the 500 feet long bamboo pole. I'm taking up a little two by nothing, a little dime by dime, and the rest of the sukkah is empty. So could one make the following chiddush? And maybe the only part of the sukkah that's also by now is the part that I'm sitting on, the part that's necessary for the mitzvah, the shtayim, kechals, and the shlish, tefil, tefach, only those two walls and mashu, that becomes also by now. Only the seventh tefachim by seventh tefachim of schach becomes also. So the Rishonim assume that that's not true. The Ran writes that, no, that when you build the sukkah, so true, you only need X amount of the sukkah. That technically speaking, down the hill for the rest of it, but so, whatever is part of the sukkah is almost sure of yachas to that original mind. So mitzvah, so it's al derech hadimyon, and it's here, put a few of these cases together. You see this idea in halacha that just because you don't have to do something past a certain amount, but kozma that you choose to do it, so it is considered to be chal, it is considered to be mitzvah as an extension of the ma'aseh mitzvah. So the entire sukkah pashas becomes also banam in HaTorah, the entire masa, all the masa eat that is said, it becomes mitzvah to the erev techon masos, and all the time that you're wearing tefillin during the course of the day is a kiyum of pshat and liyos le'adecha, and as long as you hold on to the dal amin, and that's all considered to be one long mitzvah of mitzvah lulav. So this is one way of understanding what the Anshei Yerushalayim were doing, which would in effect relate this idea to other areas of Allah as well. Now perhaps there's something totally different. Maybe we're really completely missing the boat in terms of our analysis of what the Anshei Yerushalayim were doing. Maybe there's something unique in the fact that these individuals happen to live in Yerushalayim. You know, we read the Gemara Sukkah, and the Gemara tells us about the Anshei Yerushalayim. Half of it doesn't tell about the Anshei Tel Aviv, the Anshei Bnei Brak, the Anshei Be'er Sheva, Tafka, the Anshei Yerushalayim. The simple pshat is because maybe they were the extra midas chassidus. Maybe they were doing shalayim, so they were doing unbelievable midas chassidus above and beyond the call of duty. Maybe that's the simple pshat of the Gemara. But perhaps there's more to it than that. Maybe the Gemara quotes the Anshei Yerushalayim was dafka because they lived in Yerushalayim. Why in the world should that affect what they were doing? There is a mishnah in Masechet Sukkah that distinguishes between the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav in the Beis HaMikdash in context of the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav in the rest of the world, based on the Pesukim of Chumash. The Torah says, "Lutachem lachem beyam harishon, priyei tzodah, da da da." Sounds like the mitzvah of Dal Amin was only the first day of Sukkot, and then the Torah completes the passage by saying, "Usmachtem lefnei Hashem lakechem shivus yom." You spoke to the Mitzameach, and the Chazal understand this passage, "Usmachtem lefnei Hashem lakechem," means with the Lulav and Esrei. It doesn't just mean, they're not two separate mitzvahs. It's not a mitzvah of Lulav and Esrei, number one, and then there's a mitzvah of Usmachtem lefnei Hashem lakechem by dancing and partying. The Rambam says this. The Rambam, at the end of the Sukkot, writes that the whole idea of the Simchas Beis HaShaleva, where do we get this idea of dancing and juggling and doing all these crazy things on Sukkot? We don't do this on Shavuot, we don't do it on Chol HaMoed Pesach. So why did Chazal institute all these things after on Sukkot? So the Rambam says, because it says in the Chumash, Usmachtem lefnei Hashem lakechem shivus yom, there's an extra additional mitzvah of Simcha, Bideis HaMikdash kol shivus yimei hachad, above and beyond the regular mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov, and that special mitzvah of Simcha lefnei Hashem does not exist on Pesach and Shavuot. It's a special kima mitzvah d'Avta Sukkot, Simcha Yisera, Smaat Simcha Tenu. So the Rambam says that prompted the Chacham to institute all these wild things, all these juggling acts, and all these dancing, and the smoking of torches, and all the interesting things that the Mishnah and the Masechta Sukkot describe as a kiyam in atar v'smachtem lefnei Hashem lekechem shivus yom. So even if the Rambam is right, other Rishonim disagree with this Rambam. Other Rishonim says the simple bit shuayv had nothing to do with v'smachtem lefnei Hashem lekechem shivus yom, but rather it was a kiyam of nisach hamayim, because the pasuk says v'shaf t'mayim b'sosom. When you draw the water for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, so we have a tradition that's studied the Sosom. There's a special din of Simcha in the context of Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The Machlokes have shown him, why were they dancing, it's a long dish of brisk guitar, why were they juggling and dancing and throwing fires in the air on Chol Moed Sukkot? Was it a kiyum of Simchas Beis HaShoeva, like other Rishonim say, or was it a mitzvah of the Smachtem lefnei Hashem lakecha? Nothing to do with Simchas Beis HaShoeva. But even if we have a long dish of Simcha, well, a long dish of juggling act. So even if the Rambam is right that there is an aspect of Simcha lefnei Hashem above and beyond the regular din of Simcha Yom Tov on Sukkot, and the source being from this pasuk, but that's only one interpretation of the pasuk. The Gemara clearly has a separate interpretation. So Shmuel Peck clearly interprets the pasuk to be referring to the special din of the tilos lulav b'mikdash the entire week. That's why Pastor Mishnah says that a lulav by a nitzel b'mikdash kol shiva. That's the din in Torah. Well, from the din of Yom Echad, the mitzvah of dalaminim chutz l'mikdash was only one day. And the fact that we take a lulav and nesed the entire week, that's only zeich l'mikdash. That's a very relatively new mitzvah, relatively in the scheme of things, relatively since the days of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. So it's only about a 1900-year-old mitzvah. So the mitzvah d'araisa of lulav is really only on the first day. So this distinction that the Mishnah draws, the phrase that the Mishnah draws, that the mikdash in context to Medina, so this is the Bachlokes of Rishonim, how do you touch the phrase? What does mikdash mean? What does Medina mean? So Rashi says mikdash means the base of mikdash, of course. It always means mikdash means the base of mikdash. And the Rambam doesn't say it. The Rambam Tershu Rishnai is right, that the word mikdash, at least in this context, means the entire city of Yerushalayim. So it comes out interesting Chiddush, according to the Rambam, that there's a mitzvah min HaTorah of Nefilas Lulav in Yerushalayim the entire week. That's what the Aruch Haner, the famous Shuva, where he writes that mitzvah probably applies even to the Zman Hazeh. I think we mentioned this in the one of the Teshuvim, one of the previous years, that the Aruch Haner in his Sefer Shuva Zvinyan Tzion has an interesting Ha'ara. He writes that, according to this opinion of the Rambam, so a person finds himself in Yerushalayim, they only mean in Halachic Yerushalayim, say in the world, in the coast or whatever, the old city, a person finds himself in what Al-Pi Din is considered to be part of the original Kedushas Yerushalayim. So the Aruch Haner writes that a person is mechuyev in the midst of the Tilos Lulav, min HaTorah, even on the third day Chol HaMoed. What's the significance of that? There's a tremendous significance of that. Let's say a person daven Shacharis in Tel Aviv on Chol HaMoed Sukkot. Now he's going to the coast and he asked him to go daven Mincha. So he was yelting the Tilos Lulav in Tel Aviv. That was a mitzvah mid Rabbanon of Zeichel Mikdash. Once he comes to the coast, he becomes mechuyev in the Tilos Lulav mid Araisa. So he has to shake the Lulav and say, over again. According to the Rambam, he has to make a bracha. So the Aruch Haner says, you can't make a bracha. Maybe the Rambam is not right. Maybe Rashi is right. That Mikdash is only the base of Mikdash. So at least the self-Mikdash should take the Lulav and Esrog. Or another part of a very, very serious Chumrah would be that all the kulas that we have to be Machshir, all the problems with our Lulavim and Esrogim, after the first day, the Tittim falls off, the Tiyomah splits, all the things that we end up being making like a half a dozen in the kulas, after the first day of Sukkot, so those are only true because the mitzvah of Dal Minim is only a mitzvah of the Rabbanim after the first day. So hey, Mama, Vey, Mama, so the Chumrah and Machshir, many, many different things. But if you're dealing with the mitzvah d'arayis or something, we shouldn't say that the standards are the exact same. So the lulav and esrog, we have to be mamish b'hidura with all the chumras, whatever your standards for the first day would be true for Chol HaMoed. If you're coming to the Beit HaMikdash, you're coming to the Yerushalayim, you're coming to the old city. So these are, there are some people who mock them and say, I remember myself when I was in Kiryat Avna. So one day Chol HaMoed Sukkot, we died Avin somewhere in the regular Yerushalayim, and then I went later in the afternoon to the Kotel, so I took my dalamin with me, so I shook the dalamin over again without a bracha. I'm not going to sound someone who hadn't gotten shachas yet, 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, okay, and have him be mostly been a bracha, but he went out that, so at least the yes will say, it's the chum of the alma, the shah of the raita, according to the Rambam, is not the shah of the mitzvah of the raita. So this idea that according to the Rambam, the mikdash includes really the entire city of Yerushalayim, so that may be a little bit of an insight into what the Gemara is talking about when it speaks about the Anshei Yerushalayim, that there used to be notes of the rule of the entire week. Maybe what the Gemara is saying is as follows, that not only is there a difference in terms of how many days one takes the lulav and esrog min haTorah between Yerushalayim and Pesach to the rest of the world? But maybe the very nature of the mitzvah is totally different. That when it comes to the mitzvah on the first day, so the Torah word, the mitzvah, l'kachta mechem b'yam harishon. So l'kicha means to pick up, mid'ag be'enof and break. So once you pick it up, so you did the mitzvah already. So it's quite possible that when you're dealing with the mitzvah d'araisa, or l'kachta mechem b'yam harishon, so the mitzvah is to pick it up, and once you pick it up, you put it down, finish, it's over. There's no key whatsoever to continue schlepping Lulav and Esrog around when you're going to visit people in the hospital 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You get absolutely no key whatsoever. Maybe not like the Rambam by Echelus Masa, not like the Zechavarim by Kesilim, but nothing that the mitzvah is L'kicha finished. But when it comes to the mitzvah of Mikdash, which the Rambam is interpreting to me, not only the Mikdash, but interpreting to include Yerushalayim also, so here the Torah doesn't say, L'kachta machem b'mikdash shivas yamin. The Torah says, "Usmach them lefnei Hashem lekechem shivas yamin." So maybe the nature of the mitzvah is fundamentally different. Namely, that the name of the mitzvah in the Beis Hamikdash is not really lekichas dalad minim. The real mitzvah is usmach them lefnei Hashem lekechem, because the Torah could have said, "Ulekach them lechem shivas yamin dalad minim b'mikdash." But didn't say that. The Torah worded in this very strange, vague phrase, "Usmach them lefnei Hashem lekechem." So the nature of the mitzvah is to be in the state of simcha the entire week with Hashem. So what does it mean to be in the state of simcha? So since this pasuk is written in the context of Dal Minim, so it teaches us that the Dal Minim is also like the key of the simcha of Hashem. So But the nature of the mitzvah is not so much the kicha, the nature of the mitzvah is usmasim of neshem lakechem al yidei hadal minim. So once you change the nature of the mitzvah, once the mitzvah is not a ma'isa lakicha, rather the nature of the mitzvah is usmachdem, so then you're talking about a whole different ballgame. So then maybe the kol b'da'avrei nafik bei really doesn't apply. Maybe b'da'avrei nafik bei, that means when you're dealing with the mitzvah lakicha. So I did lakicha, I finished lakicha, I put it down, it's over. But if the mitzvah is usmachdem is an ongoing mitzvah, the more I eat, the more meat I eat, the higher my cholesterol goes, but the more kim simcha that I get, the more ma'isim simcha that I do, so the greater kim of mitzvah of simcha. So maybe that's the word that the Gemara says the Anshei Yerushalayim used to do it. It was daf for the Anshei Yerushalayim, not the Anshei Tel Aviv, because the Anshei Tel Aviv only had the mitzvah of kachta machem, and the mitzvah of kachta machem is a one-shot deal. You pick it up, put it down, there's no reason whatsoever to continue holding on to it. Masha Einkei, the Anshei Yerushalayim, again, this is all assuming that the Rambam's shot is right, that Mikdash includes Yerushalayim, according to Rashi, the Sprat doesn't get off the ground, but according to Rambam's Sprat, the Mikdash and Yerushalayim are synonymous in this halacha, so then maybe daf in Yerushalayim there would be such a kiyum. Then one would have to raise a further question that there's mana there that we perform the mitzvah of Zeichel and Mikdash. So now we're sitting in Bergen County and we're going to take our wools and esrog every day of Chol HaMoed. So what's the nature of that Takana Chachalim? Did the Chachalim institute that we're doing a Dumi LaMikdash, just as in the Beit HaMikdash, the nature of the mitzvah was Usmach, the Mishneshem Lakechem. So maybe for the mitzvah for us is also Usmach, even though it's not quite Mishneshem Lakechem, but we're supposed to do Al Zeichel and Mikdash, a mitzvah Usmach. But you say, no, if the Chum extended the mitzvah the first day, the mitzvah of the kich on the first day now applies for the entire week. So that, according to what we're saying, that may have a little bit of an afkamina. Namely, is there any key in for us to hold on to the nesrig, the more the merrier? Should we say that once I picked it up for a second, it's all over, put it down and finish, end of the story? Or should we say, no, that maybe even for us, there's some kind of an idea of holding on to the nesrig for a little bit longer? So if you hold that the Chachamim were misak in the mitzvah of Zeichel and Mikdash, the famish parallel, the pattern that after the Beis HaMikdash, so maybe one can argue that since the nature of the mitzvah and the Mikdash included the entire day, maybe the mitzvah for us also has this idea of the entire day as well. So at Kobarim we have different possibilities whether this notion of the Anshei Shalayim is relevant for us. According to the first shot, for sure it's relevant for us, because according to the first shot, it's relevant by all mitzvahs. According to the second shot, that it was a unique din in the Mikdash, maybe it also becomes relevant for us in terms of our doing it as a Zeichel Mikdash. Right, because that's... So you put it down. No, but that could be a different... That could be Al-Sanah Nur, because the Mechaber seems to present that there are two Minhagim. The Mishnayim generally make the bracha before Halal. That seems to be what the Mechaber holds. The meaning of the Ariya Kodesh was to make the bracha after the Sukkah or Amamish and get up the first thing in the morning, read them, etc. So those who may insist on making the bracha before Halal, so that seems to be assuming that that even if this Shtikul Torah is not correct, even if you hold that there is no extension of the mitzvah, but the Nanuah may very well be a part of the mitzvah. That it could be, everybody agrees to. Like Lamashal, the Gemara says that how old does a child have to be before you mechutz to buy him a dalal minim? So the Gemara says that when the child is old enough to know how to be menaneh, then you have to buy him dalal minim. So why does he have to know how to be menaneh, huh? If the mitzvah is the da'avrei nafik bay, all you have to do is pick it up. As soon as the kid can pick it up, my 1.5-year-old also knows how to pick something up and throw it at you, but he doesn't know how to shake it yet. So I'm not looking to buy him a little bit of yet. So why is Nanuim critical? So it could be because Nanuim, everybody agrees with the Kiyum of the mitzvah. We'll see in a minute, Taisa says in the Farish, that Nanuim for sure is considered to be a Kiyum of the mitzvah. So when you make the shear of Chinuch, when you try to determine how old the child has to be in order to be Chayiv in Chinuch, so the Chum of Mesachim, he knows how to do the mitzvah Mamash Bishle Musa. Kid knows how to do a half-baked job with the mitzvah, then you know how to be mechanech in you. I think the Ramah writes. Ramah says that you don't have to buy a kid a dollar consult to make him wear tzitzit until not only does he know how to get dressed by himself, that's what the Gemara says. Once he knows how to get dressed, then you have to buy him tzitzit. Ramah says you have to know how to keep the two tzitzit in front and the two tzitzit in back. That's why they wear the tzitzit like a mensch. So the post can say, and let's say you don't keep the two in front and the two in back. Some people keep all the tzitzit on the side. So he said, they're not yotzei the mitzvah. Pashut Pshat is saying, I yotzei the mitzvah. That idea of having two in front, two in back, that's mechatchil of mesub of the mitzvah, but it's not tam achiv, according to most folks, it's tam achiv. So, but al korachach, you see that the Chalim Institute, chinuch, you mechalach the kids right. I mean, you don't start the kid, you don't train the kid the first couple of years of his life to do the mitzvah in an incorrect way. You wait until he's old enough to do it, mamash mishlo musa, and then you start being mechalach him. So the Nanuim may be the exception to this rule. The Nanuim may for sure be part of the mitzvah. We'll see in a minute when we get to the rest of the Tzitzit.
Rav Sachs said on the paper
We mean all the time. It means even on the first day.
Right.
Even on the first day.
That's why the halal. That's why we say the halal. It's a sensitive feeling more than a practice of the
Okay. See, what I'm suggesting is that it may be different. I'm suggesting that may goofa be the chiluk between the Beis Hamikdash and the rest of the world. That's mamshah the sukkim. The sukkim do say lakachtem, and then the Torah switches themes and says usmachtem. So according to what I'm saying, it's back to me how to read in the pasuk. According to fact, the pasuk is all saying the same thing. It's all one. At least we were in the same high school, we went to school together, but the Rav was not in the high school. You mean why in the world would the Chon have instituted? Right, the Pasuk Shabbat is that they instituted the Baal Mishnah should be doing the Mikdash. Yes, that's the Pasuk Shabbat. So this idea holding on to the Luv and Hesed a little bit longer may very well, even though it's not as if, some kind of a Kima Mitzvah, so this may solve a very real problem that all the Rishonim are bothered with, alluding to before, and that's the following problem. The Gemara says, Mesachim and Azakin, that there's a basic law when it comes to Mitzvah, it's called a Mitzvah Mevarachim Ovelas Yosef. You have to make the Bracha before you do the Mitzvah, and that halacha that you have to make the Bracha before you do the Mitzvah really has two parts to it. Namely, that you have to make the Bracha before you do the Mitzvah. On the other hand, it has to be over Lati Yosan, and it's not supposed to be what's called over the over. It's not supposed to be way, way, way in advance. Let's say, before I take my tefillin out of my bag, I don't make the bracha on the tefillin. You have to make the bracha as the tefillin are on my arm. Without the time, then I'm about to do pshat, and that's when you make the bracha. So the Gemara says you run into a very serious problem when it comes to the mitzvah of Baal Nidim. Because on the one hand, when the Baal Nidim is sitting on the table, so to make a bracha, I'm going to the shulam, you're not even holding on to it yet. That's a little bit too much over the over. On the other hand, it's a unique mitzvah. When it comes to tefillin, so you pick up the tefillin, you want your yotzei, you're not yotzei till you tie it. Whereas Baal Nidim says you pick it up, it's avdi not the beis. So the Gemara says that there's already a problem in terms of the tefillin's movement. When is the correct time to make the bracha? You don't want to make it too early before you pick it up, and the other hand, once you pick it up, it's too late. So the Gemara addresses the topic, and it's not clear exactly the Gemara what the answer to the problem is. The Gemara is clearly sensitive to the problem, and the Gemara doesn't really give you the eight to how to solve the problem. So the Shana have a whole different a series of some of the famous eights of different Rishonim have. Of course, the most famous one was the issue of flipping around the Esrach. The Gemara says, you're not Yaitse until the Dalai Mirma Chidarach and Lotham, you'll have to be holding up straight. So, therefore, a possible eight that some Rishonim say is if you hold the Esrach upside down, because in theory you can move upside down also, this looks a little bit funnier. So, you flip the Esrach upside down, you make so it's called over enough, and then as soon as you make the bracha, then you flip it around. This din, you have to have the Dalai Minim write that up. This is an aside. Says, we mentioned the Binyan Tzion before. So he has a phenomenal, phenomenally humorous tshuva in this realm of Dalai Minim. Somebody asked the Binyan Tzion the following shadow. Let's say a person lives in Australia. So how easy is he supposed to hold the Dalai Minim? Because it's not Kedarach they lost them because when they grew in Eretz Yisrael on the other side of the world, so they're upside down. So the guy has to stand on his head. He has to hold the Dalai Minim upside down and hold the Kedarach they lost them. So the same response that I got from the chuckles here was the same chuckle that the Binyan Tzion said. He said, the son of the Halacha wasn't Kaveya based on that. You're standing on the ground, your feet on the ground, so the Dalai Minim has to be straight up also. But anyway, this is one of the, that's the famous eight. There are other showing that a different eight who said that this is Shiva Salonika perhaps saves the day, so you can pick up the Dalai Minim having in mind not to be Yotze, and then as soon as you finish making the bracha, then you don't have to physically flip something around. You flip your kavan around, it's also considered to be flipping around, and that's also acceptable. So, the Tosfos quotes a different eight of the Gemara. Tosfos quotes what we alluded to before. Tosfos says, no, that they think that there's an entirely different eight to this problem. Namely, just because you picked up the Dalai Minim, and technically speaking, with the Agbay nothing, that you were really technically yaitz in the midst of Dalai Minim, but it doesn't matter, you could still make a bracha. How can you make a bracha after the night already? So, Tosfos says, no, that maybe this is considered to be still overlasting Yosan, because you haven't done the Nanuim yet. So since you haven't done the Nanuim yet, that's considered to be like as if you haven't completed the Mitzvah. So that Tosfos seems to say, Tosfos doesn't say because you're still patering around Mishalayim with the Dalai Minim. Tosfos says because you haven't done the Nanuim, Tosfos seems to understand that the Nanuim are sufficient in order to make a bracha. And the question is, why exactly should that be so? Why should that be enough to warrant making a bracha? So Rasipas of Frank thought that this is related to a question I think we also spoke about a few years ago, about the issue of making a bracha did the mitzvah. The famous Shalav of Bikivega, a person on Neiris Chanukah, a certain out of Chanukah, So he started to light the candles without making a bracha, and he realized he lit one candle, and he goes, oh, Gavalt, I forgot to make a bracha. So can he make the bracha on the remaining candles? Because the remaining candles are, you are mechir to light them, al mahadrin. But on the other hand, there you should be, so you are yet to eat the mitzvah already. So the Kedeng is a whole long, long discussion. Can you make a bracha on the tnat the ikra mitzvah? Can you make a bracha just on the hidden mitzvah alone? So the secret of Frank's was that this place is saying the same word, that the ikra mitzvah is really with arbe nafik bay. The fact that you have to do nanu, and that's what we said before, that's like the hidden mitzvah, that's like the sister two in the front and two in the back. That's like the mitzvah of the sunusa. But the ikra mitzvah really is, the place is saying in the valley to chidish, the place is saying that even though you are yaitzah the ikra mitzvah, since you haven't been yaitzah the hidden mitzvah, that's also considered to be overlastiyasa. Those are different opinions that appear in Rishonim in terms of solving this problem. Either the issue of flipping around the move and answering, or the idea of mitzvah simply using, invoking the principle of kavana of the mitzvah.
How would that be over
the
over?
What?
Suppose I'm not doing it, why wouldn't it be over the over?
You're referring to the anu of hollow. No, so it could be that person may be referring to the Nanuim right after the bracha. That's what I thought we do also. We do a double Nanuim. We do Nanuim the Hallel, and we do Nanuim right after we make the bracha. So it could be the double Nanuim. That's what Tosfos is referring to. So these are the official reasons that appear under the Rishonim. So maybe one could suggest a whole different story. Let's say a person took the Lulav and Esrog, and he forgot to make the bracha, and he already did the Nanuim, and he finished Hallel, he did the Hoshanah, he did everything. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, all of a sudden he realizes, I forgot to make a bracha. So is there any eitzah for this person at this point? So the Rambam writes, if it was brachos, that even though we have a rule that kol mitzvah mevorach lehem ovel asiyason, the Rambam says, even though the Rambam happens to hold that mamish ma'akev, there are some Rishonim who say it's not chila, but the Rambam holds this mamish ma'akev. The Rambam says there's an exception to the rule. The exception to the rule is, if it's a mitzvah nemshachet, if it's a mitzvah that still is considered to somehow continue on by itself, even though you would technically did what was really required of you up till now, but there's still an ongoing Kiyum HaMitzvah, so even if the ongoing Kiyum HaMitzvah is passive, the Rambam seems to say you can make a bracha. Marshal, the Rambam hears the Rambam with Sumashon. The Rambam says, let that person put on stone, he forgot to make a bracha. And the stone are on already for an hour, he's about to take the stone off, and then he realizes, Gevalt, I forgot to make the bracha. So the Rambam says, you're allowed to make the bracha right then and there. So that's all considered to be, calls Mom, you're wearing the stone, that's still a mitzvah Hanim Shechah. So we rely on this sometimes, we down, and sometimes people down very, very early in the morning, so they put on stones too early, it's before the Zman. So they put on without a bracha, and then when the Zman comes, they make the bracha. It's not overlas yosam. But based on this Rambam, that's also called overlas yosam. Like Titus, we do the same thing also. A lot of us do it all the time. We put in a dalit kantzas in the morning, and most people are married, don't make a bracha on the talis kantzas. They put it on in the morning, and when they come to shul, they make a bracha on the talis gadol. So it pop is a talis kantzas. It's not overlas yosam. It doesn't matter, because it's a mitzvah nimshachas. Maybe. Depends on many people are in shul. Depends on. Yeah. That's part of it. The Talmudim do discuss that aspect of how much. See, Hoshanah is not beginning the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't mention Hoshanah. It's Nanum, the Gemara spoke about. So that's a further question. Some Achilan will say that according to Talmud, says Nanum is good enough, but maybe the Hoshanah is also good enough. That's already a little bit of a stretch because Hoshanah is not really Nikra did. Well, so that's exactly what we're trying to figure out. So Tosa said that Kozman, you didn't do the Nanuim, you're still home free. So what I'm suggesting is maybe not, maybe more than Tosa saying, see, before I took on Rabbi Tash, I took on the Rav, I took on Tosa. Then for sure I didn't go to high school. So Tosa says, Tosa was only willing to go Ad Khan until the point of Nanuim. So what I'm suggesting is maybe not, maybe based on the Anshin Yushalayim, put together with this Rambam, so at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the guy realizes that he didn't make a bracha in his lulav, so no problem, so pick up the lulav again. That's also called a mitzvah nimshachet. That's also considered to be a kiyum mitzvah. It's a long mitzvah that you aren't mechuyev to do it, but the same way by tefillin also, lemaisa, not mechuyev to wear tefillin all day also. So one perhaps can argue that even though it's not the ikar achiv of mitzvah, maybe that's enough to stretch in terms of mitzvah nimshachet, perhaps. Right, wouldn't be so bad, right. But anyway, it's not so terrible because you have the Nanu and Tosus, right? The film is good enough. So Tosus the Sheikh can rely on. What do I? So we're not sure, but one thing you see for the answer of Shalayim that there was something involved, there was something important to keep on going with the Lulav. So what I'm saying is that maybe that Indian that the answer of Shalayim was saying, whether it was Al-Tzlikicha or Al-Tzlikicha, Mitzvah, Al-Tzlikicha, whatever you want to call it, Maybe that's enough. But the bracha. Maybe in the day of Mikdash, in the summer, anyone who took a hulda of the entire week of Sukkot in the day of Mikdash made a bracha. I think so. That's a mitzvah Minnesota. Yeah, that's the yom, yeah. No, but it says now the Shiva's yom. It says the fair Shiva's yom, yom, v'alayla. So that, the regular din of Simcha's yom is Dain yom, yom, v'alayla, but the din of Simcha of the smach, and that's the show on the yom, v'alayla. When the Gemara Mesechta spells out all the exciting activities that the Asher Shalayim were doing, when they were spaziering around the whole day with the Ruv and Esrog, so two of the things that the Gemara lists are they used to go to Menachem Aveilim, and they used to go be Mevake Cholim during the course of the Yom Tov Cholim Moed. They would do these things, so they would hold on to their Lulav and Esrog as well. So this Gemara became famous, Yosemech, or maybe it's famous, based on an interesting comment of the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Avil discusses that if you have two mitzvahs in front of you, you have the mitzvah of Bikach Cholim and the mitzvah of Nechem Aveilim, so which mitzvah has Kedima? So based on the Gemara speaks out of Masechta Ksubos that there are klolim in terms of Kavod HaChayim and Kavod HaMeitim, and usually we assume that Kavod HaChayim is more important than Kavod HaMeitim. So the Rambam says that on the hierarchy of mitzvah, so Nechem Aveilim is greater than Bikach Cholim. Why is that? Because Bikach Cholim is really has only one aspect to it. It's a mitzvah of Kavod HaChayim, that's true. But Nechem Aveilim is a double mitzvah. Nechem Aveilim is Kavod HaChayim, and it's also Kavod HaMeitim. When you menachem over by somebody, it's also considered to be a chesed towards the minister as well. So the Rambam says the favorite that this mitzvah of Nechem Aveilim is a dual kiyum, and the mitzvah of Nechem Aveilim is a single kiyum. Simple math dictates two and one. So the greater kiyum, the greater mitzvah of the two, overrides the other one. So the Orsa Mech points out that the Rambam seems to be against this Gemara and Masechta Sukkah, because when the Gemara speaks about what the Anshei Yerushalayim used to do, so it goes to the whole Seder Hayom. They went to Shul, they went to Beis Medrash, they went to eat, whatever they would do, and then when it describes the different mitzvahs that they were doing during the course of the day, when it spells out Bikachom and Nechem Aveilim, so it mentions Bikacholim before Nechem Aveilim. It says they used to go visit people in the hospital first, and then therefore they would go be Menachem Aveilim. So according to the Rambam, the order is wrong. According to the Rambam, you have to. The same person. You can imagine if someone came through the Lulav and Esrog, you get very nervous in the hospital. So the Asamech points out that the Rambam, there aren't all that many Gemaras and Shas that talk about what mitzvah you're supposed to do first. It's in Bikachom and Nechem Aveilim. Only one Gemara. The only one Gemara is against the Rambam. So let's chat. So the Asamech says, no, the Rambam is Gevaldi. The Rambam is totally Meduyik, and the Gemara is totally Meduyik also. Says the Asamech, the Yisrael Adar is very simple. The Rambam himself explains that basically the klal is if you have a clash between a mitzvah which is Kavod HaChayim versus Kavod HaMeitim, everybody agrees Kavod HaChayim takes precedence. The only reason why the Rambam gave Nechem Aveilim over Bikacholim is because Nechem Aveilim has a double kiyum to it, that it's Kavod HaChayim as well as Kavod HaMeitim. So comes the Asamech and says, Tamed v'amamurim, that Nechem Aveilim is a double kiyum. It's a kiyum of Kavod HaChayim and Kavod HaMeitim. That's most of the time. If you knock him up with somebody, so you're doing him a personal mitzvah b'ram l'chavero, a mitzvah chesed, and you're also doing chesed out to the neshama of the minister as well. So says the Yosemech, let's not forget, we're talking about on Sukkot. So Sukkot is Yom Tov. Yom Tov, everyone should stop and think for a second, wait a second, Yom Tov, who's doing knock him up and who's sitting shiv on Yom Tov? What's shaykh to be an oval on Yom Tov? So the answer is, well, pretend. Then in the Chanam, you're the person who had the Kvura was before Yom Tov, so it's not Israel Velos, and then Yom Tov canceled the Shiva. But if the person is Kovim Nesem Aregel, if a person's relative died and was buried on Yom Tov or Cholomai, whatever the case may be, so the person is somewhat in the case of limbo, in the state of limbo, so they are considered to be to a certain degree in Avelos. And the question is, what does that mean exactly? So in terms of the knowing Gvarship of Sahesia, in terms of publicly observing Avelos, then the Allah is clear that they don't, there's no Avelos for Sahesia and Yom Tov. As Machlokes has ever shown him, is there at least Avelos to Tzinah. So the Rambam happens to hold that there's no Avelos at all. The Rambam says that Shabbos there can be Avelos. There's Avelos to Tzinah according to the Rambam on Shabbos, because Shabbos is not as Man Simcha. So it's not crazy to be doing Avelos on Shabbos. But Yom Tov, is Man Simcha Seinu. So the Rambam holds that there's absolutely no Avelos to use that. If we'll branch of the Tzinah. So according to the Rambam, if someone is covered makes him a regular, so Yom Tov is Mamash like a regular Yom Tov for him. We have in Shekhanach, not the past like this Rambam. We talk to him like the other Rishon, like Rabban, like Taisus. The Dvarim should be seen on the Agin Yom Tov, but according to the Rambam, it's mamish nothing. So according to the Rambam, it's a very bizarre thing. So what are you coming to be menachem this guy? He's not an oval. So what kind of nicham aveilim is this on Yom Tov? So you have to say a very strange thing. When you menachem oval to somebody on Yom Tov, it's a totally different type of nicham aveilim. It's not a covered out b'chayim. It's not a chesed in b'chayim. The guy's not an oval. This individual's not an oval. Who is it a chesed to? It's a chesed to neshama. It's a chesed nifter. So it's the same chesed to the mace as it is on a regular day, but in terms of the chesed to the chayav, the guy's sitting, he's eating his boss, he's drinking his wine, he's wearing his shoes, he's sitting and learning. So here comes the Menachem Avot to him, he's not observing any of the Avos, even Gosh of the city, he's not observing. So comes Yosemech and says, An Yom Tifer Cholamayim, so the Nicham Avelim is purely chesed in a mace. And that's what the Gemara's Lashon is so medoyous. The Gemara says that they used to be the Zakeh Chaylim first, and then it would be Menachem Avot. Why? Because it was An Yom Tifer, it was An Cholamayim. So An Yom Tifer Cholamayim, then you have a clash between Nicham Avelim and Bikicholim. So Taka Bikicholim went down, because Bikicholim is a chesed in Machayim. So chesed in Machayim overrides chesed in Maneisim. So that's to go back to the regular column that you're chesed in Machayim before you're chesed in Maneisim. But the Rambam was talking about Hilchos Av, the Rambam was talking about the 8 days a year of Cholam Ha'ed. The Rambam was talking about the normal, the other 356 days a year. The Rambam was talking about a regular day. So when you're Menachem Avel on a regular day, then and only then, since he's observing Avelos, that's a double kiyum, the kiyum of Chesed and Machayim and Chesed and Mason. So that's what the Ram said on a regular day. So it's not that Nicham Avelim comes before Bikicholim. But on Yom Tchalamay, so Bikicholim comes before Nicham Avelim. So the Lashon in Sukkah is not against the Rambam. The Lashon in the Gemara, we're talking about the context of the Gemara. We're talking about Dafka Yanshe Yerushalayim. So I'll call it this one little mice of Yanshe Yerushalayim. We thought it was just a Tamidus Chassidus. You know, they walk around. But the Dalaminim, so the Pokim of Medaik, too, Kilim Shalachas, it teaches us the basic things about Hukhas Dalaminim, about Hukhas Simcha, about all the mitzvahs, about Brachas, about Nichamadim, Bikicholim, about all these many, many dinim, which were derived from the story of Yashu Shalayim. So hopefully, we have a few more hours to go till Sukkot. Hopefully, we should be able to be Zaych, and we'll all be from the Yashu Shalayim, that we'll decide that the Rashi is right, the Rambam is right, whatever they'll decide, the Sanhedrin will be okay with us. Whatever it is, hopefully we'll be able to be Zaycha this year to fulfill the true mitzvah of Smachta with the National Tech. So next week will be Hashanah Rabbah Shir. Yeah. Right, the same.